Call the Finance Committee meeting for Tuesday, March 18th, 2025, for the library meeting for finance. First item we have is to adopt the agenda. Are there any changes or anything to the agenda at this time?
No.
All right, then I'll look for a motion to approve the agenda, please.
I'll second it.
Motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The agenda is approved. Number three, we'll move to the approval of the minutes for February 18th, if y'all have a chance to look at those.
I was gone, so I'm going to abstain from those ones. So.
All right, so we'll look for a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Have a motion.
I'll second it.
Second?
I wasn't there either.
Okay.
So, oh, okay.
I think some of you have to vote.
Yeah. Please vote. We'll have the motion in second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. Sorry. All right. Then we have number four, assign finance committee members to post-audit meeting.
This is our first year with Schlenner Wenner. Bergen KDV historically did a couple of meetings, and one of those meetings involved finance committee members. Bergen also had a specific date in mind. This is our first year with our new auditing team, and the best I could do was get an estimate of an April 23rd to 30th. That's when they're looking to do to go over drafts with us and talk about the closing up of the audit and how things went. So we're just looking for two members who are able to add a placeholder to their calendar until we can get a more specific date and time. I will.
What was the day again?
It will be sometime on April 23rd.
It would be good, Tina, if you would do it.
Yep.
Kind of a good.
It'd be great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And what date did you say, the 23rd to the 30th?
23rd to the 30th is the best they could do for right now. I told them no Tuesdays. And
I could be an alternate, too, if you get stuck or something.
Okay. Should we assign an alternate? Is that what you're saying?
We don't have one, but I would be available.
Yeah. Okay, you heard.
If you get stuck.
Thank you, Tom.
As soon as we get that finalized, we'll send you a placeholder and make sure it still works.
So, Madam Chair, I'm guessing then if you get it back and one of us can't do it, then we'll just add more.
We'll roll with it.
Right. But I mean, if we both couldn't, sounds like
we've
got other people who would.
We'll figure it.
Yeah.
Okay. Usually it's what do we want to present at the May board meeting from the audit and then any questions that they wanted to go over. So, we'll see what the new auditor does.
Yeah, we'll see what their handouts and their slides look like, and then we'll go from there. Okay. It'll be a learning experience for all of us, so.
That sounds good. All right, well, moving on then to number five on the agenda, the signatory share factor table review, the 2026 calculation contribution.
So the signatory share table is the inputs for the county contributions based on registered users, population estimates, and the net tax capacity. Page 6 in your packet is the 2025 contribution numbers with the 2026 formula updates. So we usually are able to do this in February, but our state numbers were a little late to the game this year. So this is our first look at what a neutral budget table would look like. And in the bottom corner of page 6, you can see how the factor inputs affected how the signatories' contribution changed from 2025.
Remember last year, right, was on the top end. That's come down a little bit. It looks like Todd's going up. And I think knowing net tax capacity the way it is, it looks like ag land is driving the formula a little bit more this year.
I just had conversation this morning that sales are going right through. They just had several parcels in Benton and Sherburne County that was or they had an auction for rent. Dry land rent brought $260 an acre.
That's sand ground, right?
I don't know where it's located, but it could be in that Glen Dorado. Maybe not real sandy. Yeah. They did several parcels on last Saturday. And now it'll become for sale next year. So you know the ones that are renting want to make sure they get the rent so they could probably purchase next year.
Yeah. So last year, you know, Wright County went up in all areas, but what we're seeing in some of the smaller counties now is that tax capacity has a big influence on the formula. Mostly for your information, because it's hard to get your head around this formula, and at least you can see, you know, this year the counties contributed that $74.06 on the top left, and this is how the payments would change in this year's numbers. As Amy said.
Does anybody have any questions on this?
And when do we have to have the final numbers?
Preliminary budget typically is scheduled to go to the full board in May.
Okay.
So today we'll be taking our first look at the base budget, which is the cost of doing business the same way next year. and so Amy will talk about how the other pieces of the budget are changing, but that's the framework we're walking into, I guess.
We just like to start here, especially because this is the first time some of our members have really looked at this from a different perspective.
So. And it's a confusing formula.
It is.
it's just interesting. I mean, it's multi-factor, so that it kind of fluctuates, but yet evens things a little bit, too.
I've heard it referred to as the three-legged stool. What's your tax base? How many people could use it? How many people are using it?
You know, the worst part, you've seen that last year, is if we change for one county, it takes every county. It has to be the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that becomes a lot of work for Amy, I believe.
It's interesting math.
Well, we appreciate that.
It's a lot of work. So anything else on the share factor table? There's no motion on that, so we'll go to number 6, proposed 2026 base budget.
Okay, so the 2026 base budget begins on page 7. This is your first look of the exercise that answers how much funding is needed to continue operations at the current or status quo level. We use this exercise as a starting point for the board to decide what the Great River budget will look like for the upcoming year. And the base budget is displayed on pages 9 through 15 of your packet. The 2026 capital and operating budget yields a 0.35% overall increase, or $36,731 from 2025. You can see that number at the bottom of page 11. We wanted to let you know that we did receive the state ROBSS number. And that came in a little bit less than what is shown on this document at $1.858 million. So it looks like that'll be, instead of $5,000 that shows in your packet, on the cover page of our document here, that number changes to $27,600.
What was the total again on the RMBS?
It's $1.858 million.
It came on Friday, a couple days after we mailed.
Yeah. So included in the 2026 revenue lines is that decrease to state funding, and also a decrease in the use of reserves as part of the spend down plan that we'll go over in a couple minutes. There's also a decrease from the 2025 surplus designation that was passed in November. We went from $389,000 to $350,000 in 2026. And That is most of the big changes in the revenue lines. Does anybody have any questions on the revenue lines? All right, so moving on to the expenses then. excuse me. The wage base that is at the top of page 13 includes the committee's guidance to include that increase to wages and cost benefits. It includes the open positions and a continuation of the additional open hours that was requested by the board in 2022 and 2023. So the wage base is a reflection of the efficiencies created by converting hours and creating job enlargement opportunities. Let's see. Okay, so moving on, I'm sorry. I printed my stuff a little smaller and my bifocals keep getting in my way. I apologize. Okay, so Great River also experienced significant employer paid benefit cost savings in 2024, and that was able to be absorbed into this year's wage base. Adjustments were also made to expense lines for staff mileage reimbursements and to some service and contracts lines with contractual obligations that are continuing to keep going up. So things like insurance and copier maintenance and fees. This year, cataloging expenses also increased and a budget increase was added. There's also changes in the library's material budget as the department struggles with the increased expenses necessary to maintain that electronic catalog, so things like e and audiobooks. So in our collection development, you'll just see some changing of the numbers, and there's increases to databases, and those are contractual obligations that we are required to pay. Does anybody have any questions on the expense lines?
I think one item I wanted to maybe discuss a little bit was the State Family Leave Act, if we've incorporated any increases factored into our personnel for that.
So we incorporated the things that you instructed us to do. So as the state releases more information about how that's going to work,
right.
I think those discussions will be able to take place.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Perfect.
Right. So on page 16 is the signatory factor table of the county contributions to this 2026 budget as presented. Again, the bottom left in gray shows the signatory contributions needed for this base budget scenario. The year-over-year increase is $165,356. The majority of this increase is that spend-down plan that continues to go down as we're coming off of using reserves. Does anybody have any questions on that? So for tonight's discussion, we need direction from the committee about any changes that they and recommendations that they see that we need in the budget before we present this again as a preliminary budget in May. Pages 17 through 22 of this packet are the department breakdowns of these budget lines that are included in the base budget. Leave it up to you guys.
I kind of like starting where we, you know, unless there's something specific, I like starting where we kind of met those expectations, move it through this committee to the board, and then get that bigger feedback, and then we start making those changes. Typically, is that kind of what we've done in the past?
Depends
on how
often
the
committee. You know, we usually talk about reserves and where they sit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we can maybe talk more about reserves when we get to the last.
Yeah, the unassigned fund balance, number 8 on our agenda, is a discussion about where we've been and where we're going with the reserve planning.
do you want to go over that before we come back and say let's move forward?
We'll just approve the whole.
Yeah. At the end.
We'll just approve it all. Yeah, we'll just approve
it.
We'll move it all at the end.
Okay. All right. Then we'll
We still need to approve number six. As they presented here, right?
Approve it as
the base presented. Budget.
Okay.
It's just the base.
It's just the base. Yep. I'll make that motion.
Okay, I'll second it.
All right.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? The number six base budget is approved for 2026. Number seven, we have 2026 department budget requests for message B.
So this is part of the budget process where something that's over and above what we normally do, we bring forward as a separate request to determine whether to add that into the preliminary budget. So that's, Brandy's going to talk about our proposal.
Hi, everybody. Again, my name is Brandy Cantor. I'm lead patron services supervisor with Great River Regional Library. And actually, Amy and I are going to tag team this one because she's got some of the specific numbers, but I can talk some of the concept pieces of it. So Message B is a platform that we have access to through Unique. Unique is the company that we use for billing, for doing the telephone hold notices, those kinds of things. And one of their products is this Message B. And what it does is it allows us to send emails to patrons to notify them about that they have items that are coming overdue or that are overdue, things like that. So basically with this budget request, we have three goals. One is to have better communication with our patrons about what their due dates are and what happens if they don't get their stuff back to us on time or that. The other one is we want to get our stuff back because in the end, that is a huge goal of ours. And then finally, we also want to have less reliance on postal mail because as prices go up, reliability also is going down and the timeliness of postal mail. So we want to try to be smart about how we use the dollars that we're spending to notify people, to use them in a way that is more immediate and more reliable whenever we can. And right now, email is one of those methods. And Message B is a mechanism that allows us to make emails look like something the patron knows that they ought to read. We have also the ability to do emailed notifications, again, for overdues or things like that, through Horizon, which is the database we use for checking out materials. But that has some significant limitations. First and foremost, no matter what the topic is, you can only have one subject heading. So every email, regardless of why we're sending it, says news from Great River. And so it just looks like spam, and we don't get people opening them well. Versus with Message B, we can customize it for the use situation. We can customize fonts. We can use branding. We can make it look like the kind of notice that people actually want to get from us. And what we found is that by doing that, we get a much better open rate. You'll see on the bottom, page 25, we did a one-week study, sent out 1,722 emails. We had a success rate of 98%, and that is really, really good. And also, I think even more impressive, only one of those people decided they didn't want any more emails that way. So it is effective. It is easier to read, and it, again, helps move us away from that dependency on postal mail. So the other piece of this, there's the $27.75 for the email, and then there's $4,000 for phone messages, and those are the hold notifications, and that's just a great big bulk amount of phone notifications that we can continue to do for resources or for requests. Oh, and I forgot to say, at the additional amount for email, that puts us in an unlimited level, so we can send all the emails we want to send until people get their stuff back to us. So that's also another kind of thing. We're not limited to the total number of emails, which is how we are now. We can only send a certain number. Amy, now you get to talk about the math.
So where Brandy is talking is on page 13 of your packet. We're talking about the patron contact services line. Essentially, this line needs to be adjusted. The last time it was adjusted was in the 2018 budget cycle, and it was actually adjusted down. So what Brandy is proposing is that we increase this line from $60,000 to $66,775. That way we can use Message B in a different way. We're getting that line fixed because it has been historically overspent since after the pandemic. And again, with postage rates continuing to go up, it just is a more prudent way to use the funds.
Any questions?
I do.
When you say the phone, is that text messaging, or are you leaving voicemails, or like how does that work?
Sure. It is voicemail. Our patrons really, really want text messages. We get a lot of requests for that. At this point in time, we don't have a cost-effective way to do that for them, but we do continue to look into it. And when we can find that cost-effective way, we will do it. But for now, it's voicemail.
Sure. I'm just surprised we even use the voicemail. I mean, to be honest, email is pretty much like a contact and or texting, but
it depends. A lot of patrons, yeah, they don't want emails. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
On your you said you are limited on the amount of emails you can send out right now?
Yes.
Do you meet that limit on a monthly basis or how
we do? Yes. Okay. We do.
Go ahead.
Appreciate the variety of ways to be able to reach people, because yeah, there are people who just want it in different ways, and it sounds like this will increase the bandwidth, which is kind of an important thing,
right?
And the whole thing you said about the subject lines too, that's kind of crazy, isn't it?
It is. And people want to be notified, and we've worked with our public services team to identify where might be the best places to add them. So for example, adding in another email a week or so before items would get set to lost would mean that maybe then the people could get their stuff in before they actually have charges accrued, and that in turn would hopefully mean before any bills get sent out. So again, it's reducing that mail postage, because bills are going to go out by postal mail. They need to. And so if we can get people to turn their stuff in before we have to send them a bill, then that means we don't have to spend almost 80 cents per letter to send them a bill.
Do you track that on how much, once you have to send them a bill, how much of that comes back in?
Amy has the most amazing spreadsheets.
And I believe it's part of the board meeting in January.
ROI from Unique. It's all part of that collections process. Mm-hmm. So right now it's still cost effective.
It is, okay.
But it's like, I think 4-1, and at one point it was 6-1, something like that. It's gone down over time.
Okay.
So what do you think about adding, so that would be a what was the total?
Sorry.
So on page 26, the total is $6,775. That would allow the higher or the more robust portals. And then that would be added to the patron contact services line found on page 13 to increase that line.
Okay. So this is an action item. Do you want more discussion? Anybody want to make a motion?
Well, I think from what I've heard, it looks like it's pretty cost efficient. Yeah. You know, that we're getting, I mean, it's not a lot of dollars. I guess it doesn't hurt to try it and see where we stand compared to next year, how we stand. So I'll make that.
Do you track all the data and everything?
Yeah,
so
I mean, she's got a really good record of how we track. So I'll make that motion.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? We'll take a vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is unassigned fund balance spending and recovery plan review on page 27.
page 27 and 28 of your packet is the illustration of the current spend down plan for the unassigned funds used in 2022, 2024, and the 2025 budget cycles. Great River Financial Policy 300, Chapter 19, here's a little historical context, states that the unassigned fund balance over 3 months that is required by our auditors can be transferred to the revenue budget with a spend down and recovery plan in place with board approval. So this is what we're looking at on page 28, is that spending and recovery plan. The top of this page is the unassigned fund balance that was available on December 31st of 2023. Great River held 4.82 months in reserve of expenses in reserve. Three of those months are required by policy and the auditors. The $1.53 million number at the top is the amount of unassigned funds available to use for any purpose. The important thing to remember is that number is one-time funds, and when they're gone and they're spent, they're gone. Okay. So the current plan uses a total of just over $1.26 million of total reserves spread across the budgets from 2022 to 2030. As we come off of this plan, the table in the middle of the page displays the reserves used in the revenue lines by budget year. So the bold number here on the bottom is what has been going into the budget. The numbers in italics are the ones that have already been absorbed into revenue lines. So the 2026 budget includes $139,921 from this plan. And the current spend-down plan is the reason the signatories will experience that increase in the 2026 signatory factor table.
Well, significantly going to go down in 2027, I see.
We're getting to the end of,
yeah.
If you remember the meeting where we decided to spend reserves, it was like, well, will there ever be a rainy day? And shortly afterward, there was pandemic. But we've been doing this a while.
Yeah.
And this is just the reserve spending. There's also one-time money that is from the roll forward that we did
right.
at the end of last year.
And that's already in the budget,
that's
correct?
Already in the budget. Yeah. So we will get an updated total when we're done with the audit to know where we stand in terms of months in reserve. That might be helpful information.
And is this $139,921 already into the budget?
Yep.
It's in the base budget that
yeah,
you
that's
just
what
at.
I was.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. At some point here, are we going to have to look at where revenue is going to come from, or?
I don't know. Like that's.
I mean, it's probably going to have to be a plan sooner than later. Mm-hmm. Because you, Karen, you know what happens if you got to go to the counties with.
Oh, I know.
Large increases.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
The challenge
we've been
for
keeping
you.
The county shares fairly flat.
Yes.
And 80% of the budget is personnel. Like, it's two different things, but in the end, the budget reconciles the two different
county
things.
County government right. and library is no different than county government. Yep. It's right. people oriented.
Mm-hmm.
It's your biggest.
I would say one thing. Maybe to consider, and I'm just throwing it out there just for discussion, like we have that seven-year plan. Is there something that we could take and stretch it out just a little bit longer, you know, that type of thing? If we had rollover reserves, should we? I don't know. Like,
yeah.
It's either in this budget or moving it forward, but just thinking in different ways that, you know, if we could stretch it out. Because a lot of this was, is it interest? A lot of this is interest, and then it was.
Some of it was last year, yeah.
Yeah, and what are the other drivers for this excess balance? Originally, I didn't know.
It was just surplus funds, you know. Turnover is a big part of it. It was there when I became director. Like thinking back, like we've always had a pretty significant reserve, and it was in. I think it's 2020 when the board finally said, well, actually 2018 was the very first one where the board said, okay, let's do something with this.
Mm-hmm.
This is not meant to be sitting in a coffer if it's public dollars.
Right.
And so we started doing a lot of creative things, like adding Hoopla, and I mean, Finds Free eventually came along, and
self-checkouts.
We added self-checkouts. We added Print-A-Go, which is the wireless printing. Like, we did a lot of patron-focused stuff. So, we've done a lot of really good things over the years.
I think, Karen, part of it came from a commissioner in our county that said, you look at the whole county, and you look how much reserves you got here, here, and here. And we were talking, there was, you know, Benton County was, you know, money tied up in other entities, and the county was at $80 million. And that's not acceptable to public taxpayers.
So we weren't spending out of the reserve out of need.
No,
we were spending it out of duty, I would say.
Yeah.
And it's a really big budget. So if you have a $10 million budget and you get it within 3%, you're always going to have a $300,000 surplus if you're doing it right, unless you're overspending. And we tend not to do that. The other thing we've been doing over the years is just leaning things up. It's surprising every time we pull this together to see, well, the budget overall is actually pretty flat. Overall, the total budget has only gone up between 1% and 3% each year. Like, it's even in the years when other entities were seeing significant increases. One of the other things that's happened in the past is the way the state funding worked is the dollars would come in after we had set the budget. And sometimes they would be more, and sometimes they would be less. This is the first year we actually have the total in the budget, and I only got it last Friday, so still not as early as I would like to have seen it. But at least we know what 18% of our budget will be. And in the past, we're guessing on it. So if it was a surplus, all of a sudden, you've got an extra $100,000. You had no idea it was even coming until you find out in September. So that has improved. The formula for the state funding still fluctuates. So on a year-over-year basis, it's tied to the education formula, which is tied indexed to inflation. So overall, there are more dollars going to regional public libraries this year. But because equalization is in the formula, it still fluctuates. And so we saw a little less funding for 26 than we did for 25 by about $25,000 or $30,000. So it's not a guarantee that the state funding will go up even though there's more state money available. It'll depend on what all the other regions.
Like
tax capacity.
Like our formula.
Very much like our formula. It's population, land area, base number, and then equalization, which is a function of population and adjusted net tax capacity. And I wasn't able to spend time on the table, but up until last year, all six of our counties were receiving equalization funds. Last year, one of them fell off. Prior to the recession, we only had four counties receiving equalization. So it really depends on what your tax base is and how many people you're serving in relation to the rest of the state and how that formula works. So we may get more funds. I don't think we'll get dramatically less funds. I think $1.8 million is going to be a pretty stable number, which is more than we were getting even 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, we were getting like 1.5 at one point. So that was a pretty big jump.
All right, there's no motion for this, so we'll just
leave information.
It at that. It's for information and good questions and conversation. Thank you.
Yeah.
It gives me some more context on, you know, kind of where we've been, what are those things to consider, and, you know, how we'll move forward. So,
yeah, we have a lot of new people looking at this budget. So
good deal. All right, so next meeting is April 15th at 5:30 again on time, so I apologize. We don't need it. I will adjourn the meeting.